The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Total Cereal. All six flavors provide 100% daily value of at least 11 essential vitamins and minerals. Total, 100% nutrition.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie, it's been so beautiful. It's been amazing. I mean, gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful trees and this gorgeous air. It's so rich, so beautiful, just what a 1988 Bordeaux would be if it were gas instead of a liquid. It's a beautiful thing you discover as you get older and you move away from the idea of making the world a better place and you decide just to enjoy the world, which once you stop trying to make it a better place may actually become a better place just by you learning how to appreciate it. Coming on to a change in the weather, and you can see your breath as you walk out in the morning, and that's your cue that you have to turn off the water to your outside faucets, and you have to drain the hose, and you have to take the screens in, and you have to put up the storm windows, which is all to make the world a better place, or at least livable. And some people do this all for themselves, and other people develop the social skills that make it easier for other people to help them, you see. I used to have a lot of opinions, strong opinions, and then I realized that my opinions were getting in the way of people who would have helped me put up storm windows. So I learned to settle down a little bit. And when somebody comes to help you, you don't tell her that she is putting the leaves into the bag in the wrong way, and you don't try to show her the right way. It's the wrong way she's doing. She's holding the bag open with one hand, and then she's taking one hand and she's trying to scoop the leaves into the bag, and she should be holding the bag open with both feet and using both hands, but just let her do it at her own speed is my idea, and you just stand back and you enjoy the rustle of dry leaves, and you enjoy this smell of apples in the air and all of this richness of life, which is like life used to be back when you were a kid and back before you smoked all those cigarettes and you could smell things back before you scorched your palate with whiskey. You were able to intoxicate yourself just by inhaling. When you went out to the country and you went up with your Aunt Eva and your Uncle Jack, you went up to the farm. You were sent up there for bad behavior. They got it all wrong, your parents. If they had wanted to punish you, they should have made you play with other children, but they sent you up to the farm, up to this little sandy farm where you got up in the morning and you emptied your thunder jug out in the outhouse and you came in and you washed your face out of a basin and cold water from a pump with lava soap, and you came into this kitchen that smelled of ash and wood smoke, and you had cornbread and pancakes for breakfast, and then Aunt Eva sent you out to deal with the chickens who were waiting for you out there, who were free range, and it made you nervous. They'd fly up into your face, you know, and these chickens knew who you were. They had seen you before, you see. They knew that you had chased their parents across the farmyard with a wire clothes hanger, and you had grabbed their parents by their ankles, and you had brought their parents flapping and squawking to Uncle Jack, to that blood-soaked stump where he cut their heads off. And now you were coming to collect their eggs. You had killed their parents, and now you were after their children. Those chickens had a look of moral disapproval in their little yellow eyes as they looked at you, and you walked very carefully among those chickens. And if they pecked at your hand, you just let that egg be and let Aunt Eva collect that tomorrow. Aunt Eva, who was able to hypnotize chickens, she was able to to just stroke them down their little foreheads in between their little yellow eyes, and she'd stroke them, and she would sing them a hymn or something. She'd say, "Oh, thou in whose presence my soul takes delight, on whom in affliction I call, my comfort by day and my song in the night, my help, my salvation, my all." And they'd be all hypnotized. She'd hypnotize about 6, 7, 8, 9 chickens and set them up in a row. And then you just push on one end and they just all go down like dominoes. She was able to handle chickens, but you were not. She was an amazing woman. She had no children of her own, so she belonged to you. She wore this old cotton print dress that smelled of lye soap. She knew all these wonderful sad songs about people dying in blizzards and about murder and the wreck of the Titanic and train crashes and so forth. She loved sad songs. She knew Starlight Moonlight, and she would play that with you late at night. She'd wake you up in the morning and cry out, "Daylight in the swamps," she'd say. "Get out of bed, you sleepyhead. Get up, you lazy sinners. We need the sheets for tablecloths. It's almost time for dinner." And she'd wake you up and get you up. She had all kinds of sayings. She'd say, "If ifs and ands were pots and pans, there'd be no trade for tinkers. If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride and the world be drowned in a sea of pride." You went out to Aunt Eva, and it's the most wonderful time. The smell in that dirt cellar underneath the house, and all the potatoes in bags at this time of year, and the onions. And she had buried the carrots in the sand and some of the potatoes, and there were pickles. The smell of pickle and dill was still in the air. It's such a sterile world that we live in compared to that world, and the smell of chickens and the Holsteins out in the barn. You'd go out to the barn. I went out to this barn, the barn this particular time I was there, and very late summer, all the smells of the farm. And I like to go up into the haymow. I walked out towards the barn. I could hear the cattle stirring. I got the wheelbarrow out and I took him some silage, and then I was just about to put the wheelbarrow back in the shed, and I slipped and fell in this fresh greenish manure, and I took off my coveralls and I washed them out in a big water tank which was down below in the barn. I took them off and now I was naked. I'd never been naked outdoors in the farm before. I was 13. This was very exciting. I hung the coveralls on a fence and I climbed up the ladder up to the haymow. The cows were below, the haymow was up above, and I stood up in this big space, just like this space, and I climbed up to the top of this mountain of hay bales, and I stood up at the highest point so that I could orate. "Oh, captain, my captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. But oh, the bleeding drops of red where on the deck my captain lies, fallen cold and dead. Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more, or close the wall up with our English dead. In peace, there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger." And I stepped forward and I slipped. And I slid down 30 feet of hay bales on my naked rear end. I just, whoa, all the way to the bottom. I could feel it, every single one of them. And I went down through the hole in the floor and down where the cattle were and down into the pen where the Holstein bull was kept. And I banged my head against this concrete wall that was there to keep him from mounting the cows before it was time. And I lay there naked on the concrete floor, and he sniffed at me. And now he recognized who I was. I was the one who had fouled his drinking water with manure. And he was pushing at me with his snout, and my Aunt Eva grabbed hold of my ankle, and she pulled me out, and she whispered, "I won't tell your parents," and she grabbed me, and she helped me. She wrapped me in a blanket, and she helped me into the house. I was dazed. They lay me out on the couch. I lay there dizzy, and she was running into the kitchen, and she grabbed some brown medicinal paper, and she wet it, and she put it on my head, which was banged up. And Grandma was there, and she was talking to Grandma about whether they should take me to the hospital or not. And I wanted to go because I had never been to the hospital before. So I lay very quietly, and I tried not to breathe. And she said a prayer for me. She prayed God to restore her beloved nephew to health. And now I knew that I wasn't going to get to go to the hospital. I wasn't going to get to go and lie in a bed and have my brothers and sisters kneel weeping around me and ask my forgiveness for all that they had done to me. I wasn't going to be able to go. So I just stood up and I just walked away. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong and all the men are good looking and all the children are above average.